You're listening to Bigfoot Live, starring Thomas Gardy, the world's most respected authority on the phenomena known as Bigfoot. Sit back and relax as we take you on a journey into the world of the unknown. Believer or skeptic, man or woman, you will be mesmerized by real people telling real descriptions about real encounters. Fasten your seatbelts, America. It's reality radio at its finest, and it starts now.
In 1967, my whole life changed. I saw the Roger Patterson film on the Johnny Carson show. And I gotta tell you, that's the day I thought I was gonna challenge the world and go out and find this thing.
We had found like 12 tracks in the ground. I didn't want to believe it was Bigfoot.
There he is.
He's moving right now. He's moving right now. He's straight out of the tree line. He's moving to the right. See him? He's going to the right. He's going into the trees right now. Come here, look.
I'm Bob Hallmark, and I'm a reporter with ABC Television in Tyler, Longview. It's been my pleasure to be with Tom Scotty and his team tonight, and I have to admit that I was skeptical when I came out here. I thought we, at this time in our history, had the technology to be able to find one of these things if it existed. But after seeing the footprints and the dig marks in the sand and what I believe to be a very large creature running at a high rate of speed through the woods, I'm convinced I'm going to have to change my opinion on Bigfoot.
I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
When I landed on the ground, I kind of thinking, this ain't no human being. It's got to be something else.
www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
I was lost, what you think I've seen? Something strange, you know. Sasquatch sitting on his cypress knee, and he was talking to Moccasin Joe. Well, the party they gonna have out in the St. John's walls. Sasquatch doing a brand new dance, and he called it the Bigfoot Star.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Marco Bill on the Bigfoot Live broadcast. And folks, it's that time of the week again. It's time for the Wednesday evening Bigfoot Live radio show with our host, Mr. Tom Biscardi. And now, everybody, the man who put the big back into Bigfoot, our host and renowned Bigfoot researcher, Mr. Tom Biscardi. Good evening, Tom. How are you tonight?
Hello, 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 hello. Hello out
How
there
you doing,
around
Tom?
The globe.
Welcome back to reality.
I've got to tell you something. Reality and actuality is a little bit different than it seems. And right now, I'm in euphoria. If you have a euphoric experience out there, let me know, because I've been experiencing it all day. And it's phenomenal, I have to tell you. I want to share that first of all, most of all. But then I got to tell everybody, you know, that parts of this country has been socked in with snow, with sub-below zeros. I mean, 13 below, 7 below. It's been crazy. You know, and guess what? It's not winter yet, Bill. It's fall.
Oh, and guess what? The phones are ringing off the hook.
Is that not true?
Yeah.
My gosh, ladies and gentlemen, our fans around the globe, you have no idea of the calls that we're getting. And I got to tell you this, it's been totally phenomenal because they're not the prank calls that you think people would get. They're calls that are from sincere people, Bill, people who have a sincere interest in the Bigfoot phenomena, in their research. And I think we finally crossed over, Bill, and people around the globe, I want you to listen to me very closely right now. There is a phenomenon out there. It's a phenomenon. It's a creature, a primate that is unknown, that travels in family pods. It not only travels in family pods, it begets others and others and others. You know, there was times that we didn't know how many there were, and then I had guesstimated, because of the sightings around the globe, specifically in the United States of America, the good U.S. of A., that was there was anywhere between 4,000 to 8,000. I believe now that these things are etching up to maybe 10,000 out there, ladies and gentlemen. And it's because of the sightings. It's because of you out there. You people have finally crossed over and said, hey, you know, if these people have the nerve and the gumption to go out and do what they do, and we're how many years now on the radio, Bill?
Seven
and a half, ladies and gentlemen. How many people can have bragging rights of saying they have a radio station going on 7.5 years talking about Bigfoot? I don't know of any. The longest I ever knew was the one for 5 years. We've surpassed them by 2.5. Great, great guys. I forget their name, though. But there's so much going on. I got a call this week, Bill. I don't know if you heard from the same guy, that he had one outside his property line that was coming, leaving stuff by on his porch, looking in his window, and he called the police. Told the police. Called 911, the 911 call. He disclosed it to me. And it says that, hey, there's some pig fella out here covered with hair, and I don't know what the hell it is. And the cops came out, and they saw it also. They drew their guns. One of them fired. Didn't connect. Didn't connect. But, you know, they're doing it on the down low, Bill. They're keeping it quiet on the QT.
Yeah.
So it's been a phenomenal week. And I know that you've gotten a ton of calls.
Yes, I have.
Well,
in fact, our first guest didn't make it on tonight somehow. I don't know what happened. He's probably has got phone problems or something from Pennsylvania.
Well, I told you
right?
that. You know, this weather hasn't been the most conducive things for most of the people around the globe here. I know it hasn't been great, but that's okay. We've got a lot to talk on. I got a lot to catch up on. I've been with our guys all around, and we haven't hit the climates that's going on now. We've been down in the deep south, deep south. And but the weather's been nice. It's been in the 70s, you know, and our research continues to move on and go forward. What's been happening that you've heard of this week, Bill, that I haven't?
Well, in the past week, let's see, a guy from California was up skiing and on the mountains, and him and three other friends of his, and they were skiing down, like, you know, the wooded areas and stuff, and they seen a Bigfoot creature, and of course they were scared to death, and they were, well, not too much you can do on skis, I guess. You certainly can't go back up the mountain. But they seen the thing, and it was about 100 and so yards from them. And it made a kind of a growling noise to them and scared them pretty good, and then took off running. So they went over there and tried to investigate it. And there was, of course, good tracks because it was in the snow. And they took some pictures of the tracks and stuff. I'm trying to wait for him to send me some of those pictures. Another guy from Pennsylvania, Fred, he's our guy tonight. He hadn't made it on yet. He's out deer hunting about a week or so ago. And sitting in his deer, you know, not on a deer stand, but in his post on the ground there next to a tree. And about 75 yards from them, all of a sudden this big 8-foot creature comes walking right through the area where he was at there. And he froze. Said he froze and wasn't sure what to do. And he described it perfectly. And he had a big enough gun that he said he was going to try to shoot it, but he didn't. He was too scared, I think. And so he ended up, it ended up taking off. He took some a video of the thing with his phone, and it he looked at it through some binoculars as well so he could get a good view. And so he described it pretty good. Another guy from Pennsylvania called. He was deer hunting. The same thing happened. A guy from our guys from Maryland. You remember Austin and his friend from Maryland?
I do.
They got all kinds of activity going on up there as well. And it's restarted again. This is just in the last couple of days. So the, and of course, Michigan is active. See, where else? Oklahoma, Kentucky, good God, all over. It's amazing.
It is amazing. I'm totally perplexed, and I'm happy, Bill. I have to share that with you. I'm really happy to hear and see what's going on out in the Bigfoot world and see that there's so many people now that have come out. And when I say come out, I mean that respectfully. Because, you know, 5 years ago, ladies and gentlemen, you said you believe in Bigfoot or you saw a Bigfoot. People would sit there and say you were crazy or they laughed at you or you know, you're a cuckoo bird or whatever. And think about this, ladies and gentlemen. I've been doing this for more than 40 years. What do you think they said to me? And I'm still here. I still get the criticism now and then. But it's like water off a duck's back. Okay.
Well, you know, most time, most of these guys, when they call, I'll give you an instance. This one guy called and he said, "You know, you're going to think I'm crazy." But he said, "Are there any 4-foot Bigfoots?" And I said, "Sure." He said, "There is." He said, "I thought no, you ever believe me." And he seen a small one, and it was big. I mean, it's you know wide and you know, similar to what Anthony saw, and. You know, Anthony's sighting. And I talked to him, and it's amazing. I mean, it's just amazing. You know, these people, the first thing they want you to do is send a team up there to look and investigate. They don't understand that there's as many sightings as there are, and they don't realize that, you know, these sightings take place all over the United States, in multiple areas sometimes.
You know, it's amazing that you said that, Bill, and I don't mean to interrupt you. Please forgive me.
No.
But, you know, I talked to one of our guys just 2 days ago, and he says, you know, I've got, since I've been doing this now, I guess he's been doing it for 2-3 years, I got almost $100,000 wrapped up into this. And then I helped him recollect, and it wasn't, $100,000, about $55,000 though, with his traveling and his gear that he's bought and everything, and it's understandable. People don't realize, you know, you go out there and get a tank of gas on your rig today at $75 or better, depending where you are in the country. If you continually, progressively go out and don't stop, think about what it costs you to get to your destinations. Think about somebody's got to pay those repairs on those rigs, the tires and brakes and everything else that goes wrong with them. When you need new gear, I mean, like we just bought the top of the line cameras out there. I think they're M19s or M21s. They're phenomenal, okay? They not only take stills, they take movie. They're no glow at night. And they go out as far as 70 feet from where you put them. you know, from when I started, man, I had a stick and a flashlight. But now, I mean, they got some stuff that's phenomenal. It's really, really great. And, you know, you've got to keep adding, too. I mean, the new flares today, well, when we first started, my first one cost us $11,000. You know, people don't realize how much a flare, you know, camera cost or a flare device cost, okay? Meaning that it's a thermal imager, ladies and gentlemen. It's something that appears on a screen and which has blood running through it, and it's walking upright like a human. You're going to see it on the screen, and guess what? They got color ones now. When I first started off, they were black and white only. And not only that, they time, date, stamp them, and you can go forward and back and all that kind of stuff and, you know, record it. It's a lot different today. It's a real whole lot different than today when it was back in our day. But I got to tell you something else that people don't understand. You see a Bigfoot, and if you don't have your equipment with you, I saw one. Yeah, right. Why didn't you take a picture? Oh, did you have a gun? Why didn't you shoot it? Oh, by the way, if you did see it, why didn't you follow it? Or, okay, you went home, what did you do? Oh, well, I was afraid to say anything to anybody because they would have thought I was nuts. But now, on the other hand, if you talk to somebody who is a Bigfoot researcher, Bigfoot enthusiast, they go out and they see a creature. And what do? Oh, they go back to the fireplace, to the camp, and they sit around the fire. They roast marshmallows and say, we saw a creature. How many of you people out there that are true Bigfoot enthusiasts and researchers that go out and look for these things, see one, and don't get scared, don't pee your pants, don't run back to the fireplace or go back next for mama, that go after one of these creatures and follow them? Be honest. I can count them on one hand, ladies and gentlemen. And I'm not saying anything derogatory. I'm just telling you the truth. Not many people. Because you see something that's in the dark of night, large, and if it does a vocalization, scares the hell out of you, and there ain't nobody around, and you got that toad sticker in your hand or a gun in your hand, come on, man. Be real. How many of you will go out after it? That's the truth here, ladies and gentlemen. That's what it's all about. How many do you think, Bill?
Well, I tell you, it costs us somewhere about $150,000 to do 30 days a quarter for a year. And we usually put on about 120,000 miles. That's a lot of miles.
Bet it is. You bet it is. And you know what? Our rigs are in tip-top shape. You know, I'm loving the brake situation, especially on our Ram, the 1500. I just turned 111,000 miles a year. The rig is only a year old, ladies and gentlemen. 111,000 miles, and I haven't traveled as much as I should, but I got 111,000 miles for a year. My brakes are only 50% worn. I've never had a thing like this. And to me, it's got to be the greatest rig in the world. Dodge has come up with the best truck ever. And those of you who've been in my rig know, or rigs, know, you know, we got leather, we got heaters and coolers in the seats, we've got climate control, we got satellite radio, we got TV, you name it, we got it, okay, because it's nothing but comfort for me and my guys because of the miles that we travel, okay? We got the thing that's insulated in the back that if you, when we rotate and we travel straight through, you sleep, and we rotate. Another one comes forward, the other one goes to sleep, and we just keep on going. I think we hold the record right now, Bill, from California to New York, and I think we did it in 32 hours. So we were rolling, baby. Well, without any further ado, let's get out to go see and hear my good buddy. Last time I was on the air with you guys. Well, before we do that, let's go pay some bills. Let's go to commercial.
Okay, here we go.
In August 2008, there was an announcement that was heard around the globe. A promise of the end to an age-long mystery and deception that played out on the world stage. Anatomy of a Bigfoot hoax. Now, for the first time ever, see with your own eyes and hear the true behind-the-scenes story of the hoax that gripped the world. Featuring original, never-before-seen footage. Available now at searchingforbigfoot.com.
One, they're very sick people, but you know what bothers me more than anything, Megan? These guys were the law.
And we're back.
Yeah. Okay, without any further ado, let's go back and talk to my good friend. He's like a son to me. Let's go talk to Anthony out there in PA, in Virginia. How you doing, Anthony?
Hey, Tom. Good to hear you. Hey, Marco Bill.
How you doing?
Tell me what's going on. First of all, how's the weather back there?
It's getting cold, brother. It's getting cold.
Really?
Had to work late. You know, we had a lot of power outages. I had to work late. But, yeah, mostly everybody's back on by now. But, today was a little warmer than the past 2 days, but it's getting below freezing tonight, but that doesn't seem to stop the activity that's been going on.
Have you had a lot going on out there?
Because I have to work, I haven't been able to go where I need to go, but coincidentally... And I apologize, I forgot to send you the file. I was in a rush. I just sent it to Marco Bill. But I just happened to be at a location, and there were some screams going across in the distance, you know, and I just thought it was unusual, you know, and I didn't want to believe what I was hearing, because normally I hear these type of screams at nighttime when we're, you know, trying to listen for these creatures. And I'm hearing them during the day. And, I didn't have anything but my cell phone now, so I just popped it out and started recording. And, there's a lot of noise that you pick up in the foreground, but you can faintly hear, you know, the screams going on in the distance, and in the background you can hear some dogs that were close by. You know, they sound a little louder, but, that was, like I said, it was... It's pretty exciting because it just so happens to be in the same county where the last several incidences that we've had, you know, have taken place. But I was not there, you know, I was on the job working, and this particular location we were at was it's in a rural area, but it wasn't in the deep woods. Not like it wasn't in an area like where we had casted that print. You know, this one was close to the road.
Let me ask you something. The area that we casted that print, how many years ago was that?
That was 3 years ago. I'm sorry, that was 2 years ago.
Seemed like it was yesterday, I got to tell you. Let me also ask you this. Is that tree stand still up that we constructed, that guy gave us?
Tree stand is still up.
Is it really?
It's still up there. And I'm sure some hunters are probably using it.
Is phenomenal, totally phenomenal. So let me ask you this. Since the time that we first met till today, has your mind or have you changed your mind in any way or which way or form about Bigfoot, for the better or worse?
I haven't changed my mind for anything. It only, you know, I've definitely gotten better, just listening to a lot of the guests that you have on the show, everybody telling their experiences, you know, there's a lot of similarities, you know, everybody has something different to share, but there's always that common theme, you know, we're all in shock, you know, we've seen something that, it's kind of, you know, it's just a life-changing experience. You know, once you see these creatures, you know, you'd like to see more of them, but, I mean, they're just so stinking elusive, you know, it's just so, they move so quick, you know. I don't know, hopefully one day we'll, you know, be able to, you know, if we can't catch them, at least we'll have enough video, you know, to prove that they exist, you know, daytime video. And I'm sure, you know, perseverance will pay off, like we said before. But definitely overall, Tom, I would say, you know, it's better, definitely better, and it's been a good experience.
You know, and thank you for your honesty, because there's not much of that left anymore in this industry. I hate to say that, but it's the truth. But, you know, I remember when we first met, it was my honor meeting you. Did so much for us when we were out there. You took of your time and away from your family to go us to different places and tell us your stories. And you were there when, I guess, we found your first print. Isn't that true?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I mean, it was a busy time in my life, you know, between work and school and some other things. And, you know, I was trying to divide my time. And, you know, I just wish it was a little more local. But, you know, but we, you know, we worked around it, you know. And you know, hey, you when I called you that morning, you told me, hey, we got a print. I was just, you know, I was as excited as you were, you know, kid at Christmas. Hey, we got something. You know,
were you there the night before that I had them clean the area and bait it and set everything up?
Yeah, yeah, I was there with your son and with Chico, with Robbie and Rex and your son, your grandson, you know, so...
So when you saw how we prepared the area and baited it, did you learn something?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Definitely learned. You know, I mean, you know, that was, you know, it was definitely a crash course, you know. And you know, I know that they came. It's pretty obvious, you know, they came. But footprints, you know, I mean, I you know, I just wish that, you know, again, I'm figuring one day it will happen, you know, if there was enough, you know, I just wish something would have turned up on a game camera, you know what I mean? Or something that would have turned up on the video recorder that Rex had set up, yeah. So.
I'm with you all the way. Well, you know, now with the new cameras that we got, and, you know, that red light doesn't show any longer, and if they're quieter as hell, I really believe that if anything's in the area, we'll capture it on film. I want to thank you so much. I'm going to be on for one more show, and then I got to leave the area. Now I won't be back until around the 4th or 5th of January. But I want to thank you and shout out to you and your family. Have the greatest holidays ever, okay, buddy?
Thank you. You do the same, and same to you and your family, and be safe out there.
Thank you so much. Stay with us, because we got a whole lot more show, okay?
Yes, sir.
All right, good buddy. Bill, let's go to another commercial and pay some bills.
Here we go.
In August 2008, there was an announcement that was heard around the globe. A promise of the end to an age-long mystery and deception that played out on the world stage. Anatomy of a Bigfoot Hoax. Now, for the first time ever, see with your own eyes and hear the true behind-the-scenes story of the hoax that gripped the world. Featuring original, never-before-seen footage, available now at searchingforbigfoot.com.
One, they're very sick people, but you know what bothers me more than anything, Megan? These guys were the law.
And we're back, Tom.
Thanks, Bill. Thanks. I every time I hear that little ditty, I cringe. You know, these two people were the law. And I just, it makes me think, if they were the law and they did that, what other things that's going on in this world that the law is perpetrating that we don't know of?
Yes, yeah.
Without any further ado, let's get out there to Arkansas and let's talk to
Richard. Oh, no, this is Richard.
Oh, this is Richard? Oh, well,
yeah,
let's get out to New York. My brother Richard. I love this guy. Richie, you there?
I'm right here, Tom. How are you?
I'm well. Happy holidays to you, my brother.
Same to you and your family.
That's good. Now, listen. How have things been up there?
The weather's been kind of lousy. I haven't gone in. But I'm quite curious to see if they migrate out of there when the weather gets cold. That's something that I don't know. I thought last time I was in there, I actually got something, and that was only about a week and a half or 2 weeks ago. But today I sent Marco a picture. And
it's on the website, and it's right underneath your listing.
Yeah, but I just want to explain something, Tom.
Yeah.
When I go to coffee every morning, I show people stuff on my computer. And this picture, it shows it a little creature observing me. And I tell people that it's a kid playing hide-and-go-seek, and they see it. All right? But if I say to somebody, could you see that that's a Bigfoot there looking, they don't see it then. It's so funny. Their minds just don't let them see it. They refuse to believe it.
I gotta tell you this, Richard. Those last pictures that you sent over to Bill was convincing to me, and I can't say that you haven't seen it. After me seeing those pictures, everybody seen those pictures, Bill?
Say again.
Has everybody seen those pictures that Richard sent you?
Yeah, yeah. They're up there. They're still up there. They're in a different place. They're underneath. There's a whole bunch of shows that are listed underneath the guest listing. And some of the shows that have all these pictures on them, those links are on there, and they tell the show number and the date. And you can click on the links.
Are pretty discerning, and you can actually see it. When you saw those pictures, Richard, what went through your head?
By that it's real. I'm convinced it's real. You asked Anthony if he thought it was real. I'm absolutely convinced there's something there. I'm not quite sure what it is. I'm still not convinced I still don't know what it is, but there's something there.
No, I believe you. How's the weather up there by you now?
It's been cold. It's been cold, and it's
beginning snow.
We've got about an inch.
Inch, huh?
But in my area, Tom, they've taken down all the cover. They went in there with some kind of machine, and they've taken down all the cover, all the bushes.
Why?
I think they just have to cut it back. It gets so thick. But here's another thing, Tom. 2 weeks ago in my area, there was a moose. There was a moose 6 miles as the crow flies from the capital, Albany, New York, or New York State. A moose.
Let me ask you this. You're telling me that the big game now are coming down from the north. What for? To look for food?
Well, they think that they're bachelors, mooses. They have to establish new territories, and in the springtime we get bear reports right around my house. It's usually animals looking for new territories. We've got mountain lions that come through, and wolves are starting to come down from Canada into the Adirondacks. Animals are migrating.
Yes, they do. Yes, they do. Without a doubt. You know, I got to tell you something. By the way, you hear any more from our friends?
I talked to Roger. Yeah, I had Timmy email me, and I talked to Roger about once every 2 or 3 weeks. We talk about Bigfoot. That's basically it.
What's happening with Tim?
He just, not much. He says it's quiet up there.
Yeah, yeah. All right. Well, listen, thanks for sharing. And keep your ears on and your eyes open. And anything that comes down that way, please give us a holler, will you?
Thank you. And, Tom, can I just say one thing?
Sure.
I was taken out of my house a year ago in an ambulance to the hospital for vertigo. I spent 3 days in the hospital for that, and I commiserate. That is the nastiest thing I ever had in my life.
Let me tell you something, brother. I had that friggin' vertigo for, I guess it lasted for 2 weeks.
I had it 3 days, but I had had attacks before that.
I never had it before in my life, and I feel sorry for anybody that has that crap. And, you know, they tell you, well, there's exercises that you can go through.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
Exercise my ass. I got to tell you a story. I did my wash wherever I was, and I went to hang it up on the line that I constructed out at this guy's place, and it was a cement patio. I went up, I held it, and all of a sudden everything went spinning in my head. I fell down on that concrete, broke my friggin' arm, my knee and my leg. Oh, Christ, I'm telling you, man.
I got it.
You know, you can't see any light. You got to close your eyes. People talking stuff. You got to close your ears. It's terrible.
I got had an attack driving in the car.
No.
Yes, going up a hill, driving the car.
Did you pull over?
I was able to pull over. I'm telling you, Tom, they had to carry my big butt down two flights of stairs to get me to the ambulance.
Oh, my God.
I could not stand.
Oh, well, you know what it is, right? Because I finally got to the bottom of it, the way
yeah.
I am, an inquisitive guy. People call them stones in your head.
Yeah. They're
crystals.
They
they're crystals in your inner ear, okay? And when they get dislodged, they're just floating around, and that's what causes the vertigo. So they give you these exercises to try to put those crystals or stones back, to get them lodged back in their spaces. But I'll tell you what, I found out that there's more people that has vertigo than that don't.
It's terrible.
Oh, baby.
Nausea, dizzy.
Oh, yeah. And I've had them all. Listen,
all right.
Stay cool, buddy. Listen.
Yeah, I love you, Tom.
Be well. Thank you.
Bye.
Okay, I think we're back on track. Bill, let's pay another bill.
Oh, okay. I guess we could do that. Oh, I don't know if we can do that or not. I just got a froze up on a...
No, we don't. Then we don't need to do it. Let's just get out to our...
Oh.
Talk to my two brothers.
Hold on. I just lost my... We're back, and now let's get to Rocky, and let's get Swede.
You laughing at Rocky?
There we go. Rocky and Swede are on.
Wait a minute. Rocky, why are you laughing?
That's just exactly what I was thinking when you said that. That's what she said.
How you been, brother?
Is the Swede there?
Yeah, Rocky, I'm glad to hear y'all. It's already packed and ready. I was fixing to head out after the show, but I'm glad
where are you guys going?
And we'll talk about it after show for tomorrow.
Where are you guys going?
Rocky,
I just got back.
He just got back from out there. He had a chance to go. Some guys needed some Christmas time, so get packed up and headed out to our little haunt there. Take a little winter look around. We've got 8 inches, 9 inches of snow on the ground, Tom, and 10 degrees.
Wow. Any luck?
I didn't have any luck. I went down there Monday. Wasn't it Monday? Yeah, it was Monday.
Monday.
I went down there, and I got back just a couple of minutes before the show started. But I saw some... hog tracks, I saw some deer tracks, but that was it. I went out there thinking that I might be able to see something in the snow, but, well, I didn't have any luck.
All right, well, listen, at least you're out there. And that's the main thing, because there's so many people that say they're out there or try to go out there and they don't do anything.
I guarantee you there was nobody out there. There wasn't a vehicle been up on the main road in, well, when I left tonight, I still was down there one making tracks.
Wow.
Well, I knew if I had to come and get you, Rocky, I'd be able to follow the tracks down in there.
I left ribbons on the trees just in case I got down there and, just in case I got down there and froze to death.
Did you leave a note on the note tree?
Yes, I did.
Well, I figured you would.
Note tree means a lot, doesn't it? You know, it's on the Alcan Trail as you go up to Alaska. When I went up there the first time, it was 1971. And I got to tell you something. The only kind of communication they had in them days, they had this big board, okay? You get out to that highway, and you would leave a note on that board. And the note would say something like this. I'm Tom Biscardi. I'm with three other people. You mentioned their names. We're in this type of vehicle. We're heading out this way. And we're going to be gone for 7 days. If we're not back by 7 days, call the Mounties, call the police, send rescue. You know, I mean, it was many notes like that on this board. It just blew me away.
That's what the note tree or the note board's a pretty handy thing, Tom. It'll save you sometimes. You know it.
Yeah. By the way, how's your personal situation? First of all, Rocky, how's your mama?
She's doing a lot better. She's seemed to be hitting on at least 7 cylinders now.
Well, that's better than none, you know. And
exactly.
That means big, and power of prayer is really helping. And what about your situation, Swede?
My wife is going to be released from her medical on her brain injury in July, and I'm really happy that we at least have a target date, and it's wonderful. I'm glad that, and she's making good progress, and everything's getting along good, and I appreciate you asking.
Listen, our blessings go out to all of them, and all of our ailing friends and members in the Bigfoot world, and I know that Chuck Creel went out to see his daddy up there in Virginia, and that he didn't think he was going to make it, and our prayers have been going out to him constantly, and I hope he's doing well also. Well, anyhow, fellas, you know, we've been getting a lot of calls and emails on the two of you guys. You're kind of like, who was the Lone Ranger and who was the Indian that was with the Lone Ranger, Bill?
Tonto. Jay Silverheels.
yeah, that's it, Jay Silverheels. Well, you're like the Lone Ranger and Tonto of our airwaves, because everybody said, hey, well, one of them two are going to come back, and when are they going to tell us some of their stories? So one guy, I answered back to him, I said, well, we'll see. I haven't been in the country for a while, and I meant to ask Bill if he'd, you know, have you guys tell that story, because that story to me has been embedded in my mind for the longest time and probably will ever be there. It was the one when you actually shot at the thing, Swede, and it just blew my mind at that point in time. Do you remember what I'm talking about?
Oh, how can I forget, Tom? It's stuck in my brain. It's changed my life. yeah, that was quite an event that night. That was after Rocky got his, after we had a little raid at the camp the night before and got all of our cuties and fruit stolen. And
we kind of had one of
your things. We were going to make it a mission to make that not happen anymore. And we set up our perimeter, and we got a little catnap during the day, and later on in the afternoon we kind of got set up and made a plan, and put our little thread out and made us a perimeter around, and we really didn't know exactly what to expect and what was going to happen. But you know, it's just like everything else. We jump in with both feet, and we kind of had us a little set up. Rocky had him a little hiding spot, and I had my little hiding spot, and it was a little bit more than a half moon, Tom. You could see a little bit, clear sky after you get your eyes adjusted, and I'm not even sure exactly. I kind of forget the time. It seemed like it was around 1 o'clock or so, wasn't it, Rocky? In the morning?
It was midnight.
Sometime in there. Anyway.
Yeah, that's what time Rob called.
It was so quiet, Tom. And anybody that thinks, you know, anybody that makes the comment about the creatures that says, "Oh well, you could hear that thing coming through the woods," or you know, you could this or you could that, doesn't have a clue, because I'll tell you what, that thing come up into the side of that camp and I was only about 30 yards from it, maybe not even that far, and it never made a sound. It was totally silent. I could not hear a, I mean, it was so, the crickets had quit making noise. There was no noise whatsoever at all. There was nothing. It was totally silent. And anybody that's been in the deer woods or anything, if you say you look and you watch something, you see a deer maybe for 30 seconds. I saw that buck for, I watched him for 10 minutes. Usually it's about 40 seconds or so you saw the buck. But I truly watched this thing stand perfectly still to the point my mind was playing tricks on me to where, am I even looking at anything or not? It's 15 minutes. It stood totally still, never moved. And then when it did get ready to move, when it started to leave, that's when I pulled the hammer back on that 454 and let one fly, and it got out of there in a big hurry after that point. But it was really something. It was big. It was a we had that string, we had that thread tied. Rocky had that strung across there, and it was probably about 7 foot high, and it broke that thread without reaching up. It never reached up. It hit it with its body somewhere between its head and its chest, and it broke that thread. So it had to be at least 7 foot tall to hit that string. And when it left out of there, it took about three big jumps, three big long strides, and hit that road and was out of there. And I had a adrenaline moment, couldn't see, couldn't hear, and my good buddy Rocky come to my rescue, and we proceeded after Rocky called you. We had an all-night vigil out through the woods.
Let me add to that before you go any further. Ladies and gentlemen, I was on the line when this happened. I was on the line. I heard that shot. I heard him get the glare of that backfire onto his face, where Rocky ran to him to see if he was okay. The last communication that I had with these two was, I think I got him. And then the phone went dead. I'm going to leave the two of you to tell the rest of the story. Until next time, America, kudos. Talk to you soon.
Well,
go right ahead, Rocky and Swede. Continue
go ahead,
on.
Rocky. You can, after that point, I was pretty well blinded and deafened.
Well, from my point, I was sitting up there in my blinds. I had my cell phone in my pocket. The only place up there that I can get reception, but I had the ringer turned off, and it vibrated, and I answered it trying to whisper. And it was Rob, and anyhow, I was trying to not be rude or anything, but I was trying to explain to him what was going on. And while I was trying to whisper to him and make myself understood, I heard a little short whistle, and then just I hung up on Rob. I told him I'll call you back. Anyhow, then I no more than shut my phone off, it sounded like an atomic bomb went off, and you could see the flare big time from where I was. And so the plan was a shot go off, we meet in the middle of camp. So I charged off down there, and I didn't see anything, and called for Robert, for the Swede, and he said that he was over here behind the tree. And I said, what did you see? And he said, well, I can't see anything right now. So anyhow, because the muzzle flash on that gun is something horrible. So I went and got him out of the bushes, and I was already on the phone. I was back on the phone. And I got the Swede out of the sticks there, and he I was trying to explain to Tom what was going on, and the Swede, I handed him the phone. Actually, I turned around there and kind of scared me because he was down on his knees, and I thought he was going to puke. But like you said, I guess he had kind of had an adrenaline moment. But anyhow, I handed him the phone, and he was trying to talk to Tom, and I was over there with my flashlight. And I went over there where the Swede was pointing at. He said, over by the back of the van, behind, over there by the edge of the trees. So I was over there with my flashlight looking around. And I found a footprint, and you could tell that it had tried to, when the gun went off, it tried to get the hell out of there. And his foot slipped a little bit. So I was saying, oh, yeah, we got a good footprint. I looked off over, just over the edge of the hill, about where it should have, the next step should be, and it looked like a big heel mark, like it had, his foot had slipped out from under it. And then just on the other side of that, there was a big gouge in the dirt. It looked like it had gone down on a knee. And so I was convinced this time we got it. Well, we asked Tom, do you want us to go now? Or do you want us to wait in the morning and try to track it? Said if we wait till in the morning, it might be in another county. If we go now, maybe we can find something. Well, he said, go. So we charged off. And we hunted so hard for blood. And I have my little flashlight can pick up blood so good. We looked everywhere, and we found no blood. We hunted till up into the next day.
We
and then,
found a pretty good trail. We found some broken stuff. It was unlike the other ones where it was definitely wasn't just, I mean, it was a deliberate get-the-hell-out-of-Dodge trail. There was broken tree limbs and some of that. You know, it was a good get out of there, wasn't it, Rocky? But then it kind of faded away down in there about 1,000 yards.
Yeah, we did a lot of looking, but we didn't do any finding.
No.
But anyhow, we played CSI. When was it? A couple of days later.
Mm-hmm.
He went and stood back by the tree, and I took a big, long piece of line, and I walked it out to see if I could get everything lined up, thinking maybe there may be some way that, we got some kind of blood somewhere that we just wasn't finding. And as I was swinging around there, I bumped into this tree, and so I went around on the other side of it, and it still wouldn't line up with the footprint, the line wouldn't. So I went around it again, and when I went around it that time, I could see where the bark had been tore off the tree. And so we realized then where the, and when I held the line up to the, up there, then everything lined up perfectly, but it didn't come out the other side of the tree, so there didn't get no meat.
No, I killed a nice hickory tree.
Yeah, he killed a nice little old scaly bark hickory.
But it was the event like Richard had said in when you see something after you get it like Anthony, it's like one of those things where we had been out and about and we saw the tracks that Ginseng Mike showed us, and we found some other stuff, and we found some tracks on our own, and those tracks the day before from Marco has some video of that. And it really opened my eyes to the whole thing. And then that night and that encounter for 15 minutes in the dark, it was just amazing how stealthful and how still that thing could just stand there and not move for 15 minutes and was just really checking it out. It was checking out the whole situation for 15 minutes. Never moved. It was just unreal. It seemed like an hour. And, you know, for it to break out of there and go down through there, through that, some of that stuff that, I mean, even if I wouldn't have had the big blast of the gun, that thing come into camp and never made a noise. There was not a stick, pop, a crack, a leaf, nothing, and it was totally silent that night. I could, you know, I've heard stuff come in, walk in from a lot further away than that, deer, bears, that type of thing, and you always hear something, but I never heard nothing. That was just a true testimony to the stealth of this creature and how it can get around and how well adapted it is to the woods. It can't, you know, it's not like some big, like some goofus in a gorilla suit walking around out there. It's really in tune to its surroundings, and it's an event I'll never forget. I'm kind of like Tom. I'm kind of stuck on it now. I can't get over it. I want to redeem myself, you know?
Well, I want to thank you guys for coming out tonight. And, Rocky, gosh, Sweden's ready to come and try to figure out where you're at.
Well, just before the show. I got up Sunday morning or Tuesday morning. I don't know how cold it was anywhere else, but I got a little thermometer that I keep with me. I got up and it was 7 degrees down there. And just, I mean, snow was ass deep. I slept good.
Oh, gosh. Well, I want to thank you both for coming on tonight. I'd like to thank everybody for coming on tonight. We're going to forego our little after session tonight because our real little guest didn't make it on. Actually, I had two. I had a backup as well, and he didn't make it on either. So I got to call these guys and try to get them on next week. But I want to thank everybody for coming on. I want to thank the listeners for tuning in and keeping us in their minds. And hope everybody's out there for the rest of the week. Keep Bigfooting and keep the Bigfoot live. And we'll see everybody next week. Take care now, and good night.
Follow me, Swede.
I'll give you a holler.
Bye, Rocky. Sweet.
Bye.
Bye, Dylan Giant. We'll talk to you later, Richard.
Bye, everybody.
Bye, everybody.
Well, folks, once again, it's time to say so long. We'd like to thank Mr. Tom Biscardi and his guests and the Bigfoot team for joining us, and we'd especially like to thank you, our listeners, for tuning in. This is Marco Bill saying see you next Wednesday evening for some more Bigfoot Live radio show entertainment with Mr. Tom Biscardi and his team. And until then, keep the Bigfoot live and keep Bigfooting. See you next week.
Three men with a gold and a pact that they'd hold and a promise till the day that they died. Answers to the questions no one's found before. Driving determination, the only key they had to unlock the door. Monsters, mystery, legend, tales, and facts.